Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does John.
Obama nor I support
the Earth flat this afternoon.
Our limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my decision.
Smoke could be seen from blocks away. And protesters hurled trash cans and flash bombs.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to Bob and Weave. Now, if you didn't watch that,
I can't believe that just happened
on video. If you're just listening to the audio, you missed me pulling my shirt apart to reveal what, Mike?
That's the Rebel Alliance insignia, Bob.
That's right, the Rebel Alliance insignia
with the I got the reds and oranges and yellows.
Everything
you
need,
kind of a sunset type theme. I'm in love with it.
Isn't this a great T-shirt?
Yeah, I like it. It's like. It's cool.
Yeah, it's official.
It's cool.
Official Star Wars apparel. Let me just get this.
I like it a lot.
Here.
Yeah. So, that is our topic today, in case you guys haven't figured it out. We said it last week, but who knows if you listened. Today's episode is all about Star Wars. Before we get too deep in here, I'm, of course, joined, as always, by my beautiful co-host.
Wait, is that me?
Yeah.
I'm beautiful.
The Weave, Mr. Zach Weaver himself.
That is me. Son of a bitch.
Hey, Zach, what's up?
Beautiful. I don't have Star Wars on today, guys. I'm sorry.
I know. He wore a weird Christmas sweater.
It's a Deadpool Christmas sweater, but you can't see in the video.
Right. You didn't think it through. No.
I don't usually think things through.
It's a nice sweater.
Ask my wife. I don't really think things through very often.
Speaking of which, my wife wanted to know if you brought any Scentsy stuff for her.
No.
Were you supposed to?
She said not to.
Oh, okay.
She's like, should I send this? No, don't send it. Okay. That was it.
So not your fault.
Yeah. Because she didn't have all of it.
Gotcha.
Something. I don't know.
Anyway, Zach's wife sells Scentsy. If you're looking to buy some Scentsy, hit up Zach and his wife will give you some Scentsy.
Yep. Free plug.
Yeah.
Free plug.
And
shameless.
What she's bringing is for my ex-wife. My wife bought her for Christmas a Star Wars Scentsy warmer.
Mm-hmm. Millennium Falcon.
And it's so awesome because it has Han Solo's face frozen in carbonite.
Yeah.
So when the wax melts over it.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Pretty sweet.
It looks incredible. And for those of you who are Truth and Justice listeners, you've already, I'm sure, recognized that sweet, sultry voice that's been chiming in here since we started the episode. We are joined by a guest this week.
Expert guest this week.
He's our expert guest. That is, of course, the podcast mechanic, podcast producer and editor extraordinaire, the best in the business, my good friend, my second best friend, because he's not coming to my Christmas party.
Right.
Mr. Mike Bussing.
What's up?
Mike, thanks for making the drive down today. We really appreciate being in studio with us today.
Yeah.
You know, I had to move some things aside in the schedule, but I made it work.
Really happy you're making this work.
Right. Well, he's on the clock right now, and I forced him to come in here today.
Right. I have no choice in the matter.
That's all right.
You got yourself a little, I see a little Millennium Falcon on
little
your shirt
something.
There.
Wore my Star Wars shirt today.
Can we see what you got there for the video people?
For the video people.
Oh, that's a beautiful gray hoodie.
Do it for the gram.
With the...
That's what the kids say nowadays.
Got the Millennium Falcon there. We got some X-Wing fighters.
Should I stand up for the video?
Yeah, whatever you got to do so they see it, you know.
There we go. That's one everyone's.
Oh, jeez, it's beautiful. She's beautiful.
There it is.
See some TIE fighters in there.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a nice shirt. Real nice shirt.
Thanks.
It is a post-Solo Millennium Falcon.
That's correct. Right,
with the front escape pod missing.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you see Solo, Zach?
No.
You're for sure. Like you're the every episode, one of us researches a lot and one of us doesn't, and just by accident.
I have some things to admit if we want to get this out of the way.
Okay. before we get to your confessions,
yeah.
I want to point out that we're doing this episode today. We promise you guys once a month we're gonna do a fun episode. And Mike and I are both huge Star Wars fans. And this episode is dropping on the 18th of December. And so when this drops and you're listening or watching this tomorrow,
right,
The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, it opens up.
Episode 9.
The last in the series. So it's a big deal.
So they say.
It's a big deal. Okay. They're going to wrap up all the loose ends.
I doubt it.
Well, we'll see. You know, you never know.
You never know. We're going to really dig into some things like continuity of the previous movies.
Sure.
Predictions.
Whatever you got, big guy.
Theories.
Lay it on me.
Mike's got it all. Mike's got it all. So we're really excited about this. Mike and I have for years, every time a new Star Wars movie comes out, we have a movie date. And we spend the day together and we go to the movies and watch it together. It's very romantic.
Yeah, now that you say it out loud, it sounds kind of weird and creepy.
Right,
it is a little weird.
It is, yeah. We go to every Star Wars movie together.
Yes, we do. We hold hands. We share popcorn.
We drink beer.
We do that. We do drink beer
every time.
Movie theater.
Wait, tall blue beer moons. Movie theater?
Yeah, it's amazing. At the one in Benton Harbor.
Yeah. Right?
I've been missing out.
It's amazing.
They have reclining leather seats.
No, I do that.
And a full bar. You walk right by the full bar?
Every time I've been to the movies in the last 3 years, it's for a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. 90% of the times I've been to a movie in the last 3 years, it's been to a kid's movie. And I'm still drinking beer in the movie theater. Like, what's the matter with you?
All right.
Responsible dad guy.
I know. I try to be a good dad. I try to pay attention to my kids.
Screw that. God, I love a good beer at a movie theater.
Yeah. Blue Moon.
Yeah. Blue Moon's a good stuff.
All right, guys. Question real quick. Drop it in the comments. What's your favorite beer to drink while watching movies?
Okay.
There I want we an go. Answer.
That's a win.
Now, you had a confession you wanted to make.
I haven't seen 8.
What?
I also haven't seen 2.
What?
And I've only seen about half of 3.
Well, he got the numbers spot on, so, I mean, he knows something.
I know the
chronology.
I know the line.
Yeah.
Now, let's rewind.
Right.
To an episode of Truth and Justice in August.
Hey, let's talk about this. Those are the original 3, the only 3 that I've ever let my kids watch.
Why won't you let them watch the other ones?
The first ones are garbage. Well, I mean, 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, prequels.
You haven't seen 3!
I've seen half of 3.
Or was it half of 2 and not 3?
No, I haven't seen 2.
There's no 2 and half of 3.
You skipped 2 and went right to 3 and only saw half of it.
It doesn't matter.
God. The word, but you know what, Mike? If you're interested in a co-hosting spot on a podcast, you know,
we
told him.
He's actually pretty knowledgeable about most other topics you guys talk about. Like, just because he's missing one, let's beat the guy up, you know?
We planned this episode last week.
We did.
And I thought Zach was a big expert because, like, when I said the I love you and I know, and he's like, he soloed you, and don't you know about this? I thought he was Star Wars guy.
I know things.
Yeah.
You know things. Speaking of which.
I know things and I'm pretty.
Let me ask you this. Now, I already pointed this out to you.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that Leia got him back for that?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. It's in 7.
Do you know?
It's in 6.
Did you even ask the question correctly? What the
heck? So okay. I keep forgetting these people aren't all Truth and Justice listeners. So back in, there was a scene in The Empire Strikes Back.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's an iconic scene. Right?
Yeah. Right before Han gets carbon frozen, Leia says, I love you. And Han says,
I know.
I know, right. And so there was a moment in Truth and Justice a while back where Mike did that to me, and they're like, he soloed you. And I didn't remember that particular part. I didn't realize there was memes and all this stuff about it.
Right.
It's a big deal where, you know, she says, I love you, and Han says, I know. That is in episode 7 in Empire Strikes Back.
That's 5.
You're right.
See, look at me. How are you an expert?
Wow. Well, you said 7 like it was one of the new ones.
It is. It's in the new one.
No, it's in Return of the Jedi. In Return of the Jedi, you're right, which is number 6.
What if it's in the new one, too?
What if it's in 7?
It's not in the new one. There's no I love yous in the new one. But remember,
sure?
they're broken up by the time they go into Force Awakens.
Hey, have you ever seen Fanboys?
No.
Never mind.
You're trying to talk about something you know about?
It's a fucking Star Wars movie.
It's a Star Wars.
It's about episode 1. It's when episode 1's getting ready to release.
No, I didn't
and
see
it's,
it.
It's a group of fanboys that try to break into Skywalker Ranch to steal the copy to see it first.
Oh, I remember the trailer from years ago.
And at some point, they go to the hospital. One of the boys ends up in the hospital, and Carrie Fisher's the nurse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the boy says, I love you. And she says, I know.
Oh, that's epic.
Yeah.
Funny. Fanboys.
Fanboys.
I remember the commercial for that, where they're riding around in the car, and they got to get... Yeah.
It's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
You know what's funnier is in Return of the Jedi... When
are you still on this?
When they're on the Ewoks planet.
Uh-huh.
It'd be Endor, Bob.
The moon of
it's
Endor.
It's a forest moon of Endor.
The forest moon of Endor. I'm sorry, Mike. I apologize.
Come on, man.
Specific. I honestly, I thought Endor, but I didn't want to. I was afraid. Because I know that you're going to get me if I say anything wrong.
Right. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
That's why you brought me in here today.
So, but they're trying to get in to shut down the deflector shield around the Death Star. And the blast doors are shut. Han's trying to hotwire it because R2 already got blasted. And then Leia gets shot in the arm and she goes down. And then the stormtroopers come in and they're behind Han and he's looking at her. And she shows him that she has a blaster that she's going to get him. And he says, I love you. And she says, I know. I completely forgot that happened, that she got him back. And that was such a great piece of writing to flash back to Empire Strikes Back.
It was. It was awesome. I didn't catch it either until you said that.
Yeah. So. I'm not 100% sure it's there.
It's there. I remember now with the blaster thing.
Oh,
it sticks in my head.
I'm looking it up right now.
It's there. I'm the expert. the expert today.
Hang on, I love you. See if we can find something real quick here.
I don't think it's necessary. I think we got to the bottom of it.
All right, but this is how we do things. Okay. and so I have it right here. But I do want to address the elephant in the room because every time I speak, these guys are looking at me trying to hold back laughter.
Yeah.
So you might notice I sound a little lispy today.
You didn't need to do that because your words were
already sounding.
Yeah, I couldn't understand what you were saying.
I hate you so much. So I think I mentioned a while back, and my might not have mentioned it on the air, but I've been my crooked teeth have been bothering me for years, and so I got invisible aligners, and I just got them put in yesterday, and I'm still getting used to them.
Yeah.
And this is the second podcast that I've recorded today with them in, and every time I'm speaking any sentence that has a lot of S words, I look up at Zach and watch him containing childish laughter.
I'm a child.
The entire time.
I'm a child.
So here we go. I'll let you guys see this right here.
That's from fucking Family Guy.
What? What are you talking about?
No, it's not. I thought it was a Family Guy clip.
What happened? Where's my sound? Oh, hang on. Sound's off. I got all kinds
What's
of
What's going on? Going on
here. Oh. All right, pretend like we didn't do that and just
classic
start over.
Bob and Weave move.
Yeah, we'll edit this right out. It'll be fine.
What are you doing?
There it is.
Oh, God.
There's the blaster.
Oh, there isn't sound.
There probably can't be for copyright reasons.
Yeah, so it's got subtitles.
Well, we saw the subtitle. It went by.
But she did. He looks at her. He says, I love you. And she says, I know. There it is. Got him back.
Bam.
Great piece of writing there.
How am I going to edit that together?
I don't know. Good luck.
I really thought we were going to get...
Cut the whole bit.
Yeah, I thought we were going to get some sound there. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
No sound
on the podcast. I played a sound-free episode bit there. Anyway, talking about... That is a good transition into... Well, it just keeps playing, and I can't stop watching it now. So I've been doing a lot of research. Now, I am older than both of you guys.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot. 5 years older than you.
87?
Huh?
87, right? That's how old you are.
Oh, jeez.
I thought you were talking about the year he was born or something.
No. So you, neither one of you were alive when Return of the Jedi aired, right? You were born, what, 84-ish?
84.
Yeah, I'll let you get your licks in here, Bob.
I saw the Return of the Jedi in the theater.
I can't help he's 92.
I will say,
old guy.
Have your fun. At some point, we need to get into the content here. You hear people tuning out right now. Click. I didn't go to the original release of Star Wars in 83. I was 4 years old then, but it was re-released in 86 in the theaters, and I was like 7 years old, and I got to go see it in the theaters. So I grew up with the original trilogy. When the new ones came out, which you haven't seen the new ones.
I saw one of them.
The Phantom Menace.
You should
let's
Oh wait, you're talking about those new ones.
Let's really clarify
the
here.
Prequel trilogy. The prequel trilogy.
And then we'll call the new one, we'll call it the new trilogy, right? Just so we can get the conversation.
The sequel trilogy, if you will.
Oh.
Is that no good for you?
You got me.
That's better, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the big thing is I some people would say I'm a little bit OCD. So that's why with a new release of Disney Plus, the new app, and I have Verizon, which meant I got it for free.
Mm-hmm.
I've had access to all these videos right on my phone.
Hashtag not an ad.
Yeah, not I wish they would sponsor us. That'd be great.
That would be sick.
I'd be a poster child for Disney Plus because I have watched in the last 2 weeks. I first watched the two new movies, the newest, The Force Awakens, which was episode 7, and The Last Jedi, episode 8, preparing for episode 9. And then when watching that, I had some questions, some continuity issues. Like, does this all line? Does everything in the Star Wars universe connect? Did they do a good job? And I think in some cases they did. In some cases, they did not. So I think we should start to talk about some of that and what we thought about the movies as they went all the way through. And then we'll get into our predictions for what we think we're going to see tomorrow in the Rise of Skywalker, episode 9. So,
sounds good to me, man.
Mike, a little bit about your background. Mike actually owns encyclopedias, Star Wars encyclopedias. Explain your childhood and your obsession with Star Wars.
That was a long time ago. The encyclopedia thing was a long time ago. But yeah, no, grew up watching it. I still remember the first time I watched Star Wars with my grandparents. And I was like 4 or 5 years old. It was the original trilogy before they did the special editions. So it was like the original originals.
Mm-hmm.
And
who shot first?
Han shot first in the original.
Okay.
The other guy didn't even shoot.
Never even shot his blaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then they redid the special edition where they had Greedo, who's the bounty hunter opposite him in the cantina. When they're sitting there, he shot his blaster first to make Han not look as bad for just cold-bloodedly killing this guy.
Right.
Which I disagree with, and I think a lot of like the hardcore fans disagree with that too. I think that everyone liked him shooting Greedo without any, you know, regret.
Right. Now, what did you think about the remaster? Because you and I found out this week that I knew about the remasters.
Right.
I didn't realize they remastered them 3 times.
Right. I didn't know either. And I mean, granted, like I've grown up, right? And I've got other things that I'm into now, and I'm not as hardcore about it as I was as a kid and teenager. But yeah, apparently, so I knew about the special editions they did in 97, which were the biggest. I mean, they made the most changes there, adding CGI, new scenes. And changing certain.
They just completely added things. I mean,
yeah,
like the Jabba scene.
Yeah, there's scenes that are added.
Yeah.
There's like weird shit walking around for no reason that wasn't there before.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But some of it wasn't, like the Jabba scene was an original scene that was a deleted scene, if I remember correctly.
Right.
But they didn't use, I don't know why they didn't have actual Jabba there, or
they didn't have the technology to produce a convincing Jabba the Hutt.
Right, so they dropped it.
Because what they did was they filmed that, they shot that scene with Harrison Ford and a stand-in.
Right.
Who they did, you know, did dialogue together, and then they were going to replace that stand-in with a CGI.
Jabba the Hutt.
And so they never came up with, you know, a look that worked or something that was believable, so they scrapped the whole scene. Luckily, they still had it in the archives, and they pulled it out for the 97 remaster.
Which I thought was cool because it was an original idea of Lucas to have that scene in there.
Right.
But I know a lot of hardcore Star Wars fans were in the theater going, fake.
Yeah.
Fake. Yeah,
definitely.
People pissed off about that in the 90s. What'd you think?
Well, I actually never went to see the special editions in theater. I had to rent them on VHS back in the day. And granted, I was like, I'd say 7 or 8 years old when they did the special editions. And uh-huh. I couldn't get enough of it because it revitalized Star Wars. It brought it back.
Back to the theaters,
you know, promotions, TV commercials, toys. The toys blew up again,
mm-hmm.
Comic books, all that stuff. And I hadn't been exposed to that because I was too old, right? So I was too young to have gone through that for the originals when they first released them. So mm-hmm. I didn't see any of that stuff. The only thing I had up until then was, yeah, they still sold toys, but I had the toys and then the movies on VHS. There was no buzz about it. Nobody else was talking about it anymore. So mm-hmm. it kind of revitalized it. And I got to experience kind of what everyone did when the originals came out. And
right.
I was still a kid and it was that much more special to me. So I didn't get all upset and bent out of shape about, oh, they changed this, they changed that. And some of the artistic stuff that people are upset about now with the special editions, I didn't think about any of that back then. I was a
right.
kid who loved Star Wars and got it. And it was awesome.
Yeah, I was in college.
Right.
When they did the special release. Or they remastered them.
Yeah.
And the same way, I was excited because I only got the theater experience with Return of the Jedi.
Right.
And so, mind you, this is the 80s. I know for sure you don't have any recollection of these events. You might, Zach, probably not. You were too young. But I remember when my dad brought home our first VCR.
No, we always had one.
Yeah. So and I still remember it was about 1986 ish, somewhere around there. And I still remember this. I was telling Mike's story the other day. Yeah. We were sitting at home and my dad, he either just gotten back from a business trip or was getting ready to go on one. And he came and he's like, how would you guys like to watch Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Winning.
And we're like, what? And he pulls out this huge box with his VCR in it. We didn't even know what a VCR was.
Yeah.
I was like 7 years old, 7 or 8 years old. And I have vivid memory of him setting up that VCR, and he'd rented at the Hometown Video in downtown Buchanan, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And it was like, but that was, you have to understand, at that point in our lives, watching a movie at home wasn't a thing.
Right.
If you didn't watch it in the theaters, if you had cable and HBO and stuff, you might be able to see it then later. Otherwise, you were just, and there was no VCRs to like tape stuff off TV, which was a thing back then too.
You know, right.
VCRs to tape stuff on TV.
God damn, you're old. It's like 104.
He's up there.
He just keeps climbing. I'm literally 5 years older than you. I don't even get why the joke's funny. But you seem to be enjoying it.
I wish I was coming up with them because it makes a little more sense for me.
Right, yeah.
Because you're a decade.
Yeah, you're a whole decade difference between us. But that was really cool. And some great memories and nostalgia. Like, I remember. So I saw Return of the Jedi. I'm trying to remember. I'd seen my dad and my grandpa had an argument when he got the VHS because my grandpa bought the Betamax.
I love that. It's so funny because he thought he was going to win the battle, right?
Oh, they would argue about it. You got that stupid ass VHS. That's not going to last. Betamax is the future. So my grandpa bought a Betamax and my dad bought a VHS.
So real quick. Sorry to break up the story because it's a great story. But when did the Laserdisc play into all that?
That was 90s.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Because I never had a Laserdisc, but I knew of that.
It was pre-DVD. It must have been.
Right. I remember my freshman year of college in 1997 when I had a friend from Lake Tahoe who will come into my stories probably later, but him talking about DVDs, I think, some kind of, and I was like, is that like DivX? Like late? And he's like, what? And I remember I was so confused because people were talking about these laser discs.
Yeah.
That the laser disc, the big laser disc looked like a record. Those came and went quick.
Right.
They were in and out. Not many people had them. They never took off. But like there was a period of time where there was something called DivX. There was the laser discs. And then the DVDs were like three attempts real quick to come up with a digital media. But the VHS and beta, that was, and it, you had to be, I would say you probably have to be my age or older, 40 or older to have lived through that. And
like how I had to put the age in there?
Yeah. I'm 40 is all I am. I'm just 40. You fuck. But I remember them arguing about it, and then my grandpa getting so mad because we used to have sleepovers at my grandparents' house, and we'd always go down to Hometown Video and rent movies. That was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Pop popcorn and the air pop poppers. You ever have one of those?
Mm-hmm. I had one of those, too.
Yeah.
I did.
And grandpa would get mad because at first they had kind of equal. Each movie, they'd have a few VHS and a few beta, and then they real quick started phasing out, and he'd get so mad. And we would get mad because he's like, pick out any movie you want. I'm like, I want to watch this one. They don't got beta in that one. Goddamn. Cheap, not communist sons of bitches. Grandpa get so mad because beta was going out.
I love that.
But I watched A New Hope, the first Star Wars, which was episode 4, on Betamax at my grandpa's house.
Oh, dude, that's a story.
With the whole family gathered around.
That's great, dude.
Yep.
That's just something that's... Before you keep going, that's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons I like Star Wars that I realized is those family moments you have watching them. Mm-hmm. Like I was introduced to it by my family and I just remember that, you know, usually you watch them around the holidays or something when everyone's together, something like that.
It's exactly what it was. It may have been like, cause I remember the whole, like maybe even like my cousins and stuff were there. So it might've been a holiday.
I don't have a single memory like that. Like I don't.
You guys had movies, right? Like during the holidays, the family would get together and watch a movie?
No. The only movie we ever watched during the holidays is Christmas Story. Like we watched the Christmas Story.
We're going to watch that at my Christmas party on Saturday that Mike used to always come to and he's not coming to.
That's perfect. But that's it. Other than that, we never watched anything. Like we weren't like a get around the TV and watch. We would occasionally like on Friday nights watch a movie. Mm-hmm. Like they would, like you said, go to the movie store and rent a movie. But it was never like, I don't know, we never had anything like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's just change of the times. Like we talk about our kids now with all their technology, and it's hard to get them into one room. And I don't know what would have been going on back then. But for my generation, It was. There was nothing in the wintertime if we weren't out sledding. Like, once it got dark out, like, there's nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have, we had one TV in the house, and you know, that was like everybody did everything together, you know?
Right. So,
and I remember gathering around and watching Star Wars. I was super young. So it was, I remember scenes that stuck out in my head were the trash compactor scene. For some reason, that I remembered that at, from 5 years old or whenever I watched it.
Right.
That very young age. I don't remember much. I remember Obi-Wan getting killed, but it was vague memories from back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when I watched Return of the Jedi and I went into the theaters and saw it, I was so excited. And I still think it's the best Star Wars ever made, personally. You're an Empire Strikes Back guy.
I am now. I've matured into that, though.
Right. I'm just not there yet.
Right, yeah. No, I used to be, I used to really like the Return of the Jedi was my favorite growing up, and then the prequels came out, and each new prequel was my new favorite, and then
that's when you got to live it as a child.
Right, that was huge for me. So again, just like with the special edition stuff where there's all this flack and backlash now, and people aren't on board with the way they were produced and what the end product was. It was the same thing for those. I was just a kid who loved it so much, couldn't get enough of it. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't do any wrong. As I grew older and became a little more into movies and what a good and bad movie is, in my opinion, mm-hmm. that's when, you know, you start to see the flaws in the stuff.
Right.
But back then, no. I mean, it was just awesome experiences for me, you know, as a kid.
Right. See, and the prequels for me were awesome just because it was more Star Wars.
Right.
Because I was a casual Star Wars viewer. So like I watched them as a child, as a small child. I watched them again. I still remember. It's funny because my ex-wife, Alicia, is now huge Star Wars fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I give her a hard time about this all the time because like she's got like a Stormtrooper sticker on her car and we're Star Wars. That's who Becky bought the
Scentsy warmer for, yeah.
Right. But it was like 1998, our sophomore year of college. We had a friend from Lake Tahoe. We all went to, there was a group of us all went to his house in Lake Tahoe for Thanksgiving. And we were talking about Star Wars and she had never seen them, which is bananas because her dad's a huge Star Wars fan. Her dad actually owned a comic book store. Like he was really into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she had no interest at all and thought it was stupid that we watch it. So we, Justin, my friend, had the box set of VHS tapes of the digitally remastered Star Wars. So we decided one night we're going to binge them all. We watched the whole trilogy and she bitched through the whole thing. This is stupid. And then we get divorced and all of a sudden 8 years later, she pops up with a freaking Stormtrooper. I don't get to take, actually, I'm a little bitter over this.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had an experience of taking my kids to see the new Star Wars because she's the one that's the big Star Wars person now.
Yeah.
And so she takes them. She always buys tickets. Like she's going tomorrow when this drops tomorrow, mm-hmm. which is Thursday because they always had like premieres, like a midnight showing or whatever. She's taking the boys to go see that tomorrow. Like she always does. She doesn't. She's a poser, Mike. She's a poser.
I don't know. I mean, tastes change over time, I guess. I don't know how that happened.
You know, as I'm sitting here, like you guys are reminiscing about this and I'm like, where the hell was I? Like I don't
yeah
like,
this wasn't a thing
the, no it wasn't. And you know, the more I think about it, when the prequels came out, that was like right when I was entering high school.
Mm-hmm.
They were what, 99
through 05, I think, or
yeah, so that's 05. Like that's like my time in high school.
Yeah,
not that it was 99 to 05, because that means I'm an idiot. Right. I mean, I am an idiot, but that's a different story. But I mean, that makes more sense to me why I wasn't into it, because I was sports and girls. You know what I mean? Like that wasn't a time frame in my life for movies.
Yeah. And it wasn't, especially back then, it wasn't as widely accepted. Like
you were a nerd if you like.
You were a nerd back then. Yeah. Like when I was in high school, I graduated in 07. So yeah, I wasn't. People didn't like that about me, you know, that I was a Star Wars fan.
It wasn't getting you dates.
Now it's like it's cool to do. It's,
the girls were like, is that Mike buzzing? I heard he's got a Star Wars encyclopedia. I wonder what he's doing Saturday night. Probably masturbating and watching Star Wars.
And then.
Yeah. What?
Wait. He said, yeah. Wait. And then like thinking back to like early members of Star Wars, I think back to scenes and then I realized that's Spaceballs.
Oh yeah,
right. Making fun of like which is another classic.
When you're talking about like the trash compactor scene, yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, I do. Like I can remember that being a child, and I like thinking about like, no, that was Spaceballs trash compactor scene that I'm thinking of.
No,
that wasn't the. I mean, I know that that is, but I'm saying the one that ends in my head isn't that one.
I know it's funny, but what's funny, but for me is now and what I do now in my study of human behavior and memory. Like I know why that stuck in my head because it was an emotional memory for me because as a 7 year old or however old I was when I watched it. I was genuinely like panicking and terrified that because, you know, first time watching Star Wars, none of us knew who the hero was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know that Luke Skywalker was going to be the guy that was in all the movies that was the big deal. So I'm like, oh, they're going to Luke and Leia and Han, they're going to die. Like, I didn't know who was going to die. And I was panicking about it while I was watching it. And I think that emotion really cemented that, like, that scene into my mind. But yeah, so for me, I got as a small child, I got to see the original trilogy. In college, we just all sat down to watch it for fun. And then right after that, in 99, the prequels came out. I went to go see it with my brother-in-law, I think, because my ex-wife didn't want to see it at the time. Was so excited. I loved it, just like you. Now, I just watched it again this week. Didn't so much love it anymore.
Why?
Well, part of it is I think there was some pretty bad. I think the child that played Anakin was a pretty terrible actor.
Jake Lloyd. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just side bit about him. Apparently, when you get chosen at 8 years old to be the face of Star Wars, your life after that is a complete whirlwind rock star shit show. And you end up driving your car drunk and getting in trouble with the law and ruining everything.
Dating Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. I was like, that's Macaulay Culkin all over again.
Yeah, that guy definitely.
So he never did screwed things since up. Then.
No, he well, he, if you remember back then, he did movies. He was a kind of a popular child actor, right? He did like Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Do you remember when that came out?
Yeah,
it was a big deal at the time for the holidays and stuff. So he was in that. He was in a couple other things, but not much. And then after Star Wars, he just disappeared. So,
he's boozing it up at 10 years old.
who knows? You know, I mean, it wouldn't take long for him. He's probably 11 by the time it aired or whatever. Yeah. And then, sooner or later, he's getting into his teenage years, and So apparently, he had a real hard time like managing fame and all that,
right?
At that age,
which is true of a lot of child actors, I think. But yeah, he wasn't the best actor. I didn't think the writing was great. Now, the biggest reason I don't like it now, when I did then. So as I said before, I was just a casual Star Wars watcher. So when I watched The Phantom Menace in '99 when it came out, it was just like, cool, more Star Wars, and all I was like, we're getting Anakin's backstory,
right?
And a little bit about, and we got to see Obi-Wan as a young guy. So that was cool for me. But then now I have to understand things. I can't stand it if I'm watching a movie and there's some reference to something and I know I'm supposed to know what it is and I don't remember it. So I've watched them all literally twice in the last week.
Right. Which is pretty hardcore.
Yeah
that's pretty tough.
Yeah. I've lost a lot of weight this week because my time to watch it is if I go down to our workout room and get on the elliptical and turn on the TV. So I've been doing hours on the elliptical watching Star Wars. Like, what are you doing? I'm just working out. I'm not nerding out down here watching Star Wars. But so now, like, my biggest problem with episode one, The Phantom Menace, is fucking Qui-Gon Jinn.
New character.
Not just a new character, but a character that doesn't make sense. So it was,
right.
What I love about, you know, because with the made out of order, you know, 4, 5, 6, then 1, 2, 3, then 7, 8, and now 9 is how they are able to, using little Easter eggs, build continuity in the story, right? So like Anakin's story is already told and his backstory is told and referenced in the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they build his character and storyline around that in the prequels. So that it makes sense. So if you watch them in order, it's making sense.
Right.
Qui-Gon doesn't make sense. That's my first reason it pisses me off. He's never once mentioned anytime. You know, because Qui-Gon it was Obi-Wan's master. Obi-Wan was his apprentice.
Right. Played by Liam Neeson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I love Liam Neeson.
Mm-hmm. Also, he wasn't that big a deal back then. He was supposed to play James Bond.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he ended up turning down the role last minute because I guess his wife was going to leave him if he did it. So apparently playing James Bond, you become a real life ladies man, and there's a lot to go with that too. So
no shit.
He had to turn it down because of his wife. Yeah.
So he had Qui-Gon instead.
So we got Qui-Gon. Yeah.
Yeah. But so he was like Obi-Wan's best friend in episode one. In The Phantom Menace, he's his best friend. He's his master. He's the one training Obi-Wan. He's like Obi-Wan's whole world. Well, when you watch the original trilogy, there's never a mention of him being an apprentice, of him having this best friend that died, who's strong in the Force and can come back as a ghost, which we see him as a Force ghost in the remaster, right? At the end of Jedi?
No, actually, we never see Qui-Gon Jinn as a Force ghost.
Okay.
And there's a lot of debate about that and why. And I don't think anybody really has an answer.
This is so over my head right now.
this is the light stuff too. Like we were getting into the weeds the other day.
Oh yeah, we were.
Wow.
So essentially, to make it short,
I'm just sitting back watching from like a different view, and I'm like, what is happening right now?
Well, that's good to know. So if we're talking over people's heads that don't know a whole lot of Star Wars, the basics of in the original trilogy, whenever Obi-Wan references who trained him, mm-hmm. he says, "When Yoda trained me." The impression you get watching the original movie was that Yoda trained Obi-Wan, Obi-Wan trained Anakin, and then later. But then you jump into The Phantom Menace, and it's not Yoda training Obi-Wan. It's some dude, Qui-Gon, who we've never heard of before.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was George Lucas adding a new character, and there are a lot of reasons why you might think he did that. But I can see why that upsets you too, because there's absolutely no reference to him in the old trilogy, because the character quite literally did not exist back then.
Right.
So they just introduced him and,
for one movie and then he dies.
I have reasons for why I think they introduced him. We can go into that now unless somebody wants
to. Yeah.
Well, I think they introduced him for a couple reasons. My first reason is I don't think they had enough technology CGI-wise and or the puppeteering stuff to make a live-action Yoda flip and fight and twirl. And so you'd have these scenes with Ewan McGregor's character, Obi-Wan Kenobi, who needed somebody in the action with him, in the fight with him. And I don't think the technology was up to par for them to create a convincing Yoda to be able to do the action sequences.
Because by episode two, we see Yoda
You see
that.
Yoda doing that, but you see a lot more in episode two, right? So how many years went by? It was from 1999, which we could say started production like 97, go all the way up to like, 2002, maybe, for three when years. Episode two came out. Mm-hmm. Technology advanced greatly. The actual production of the first film advanced the technology. They implemented things into that movie, I can't tell you what they are, that helped the industry as far as like, computer-generated imagery grow. Mm-hmm. So by the time 2 came around, they had even more technology, more tools, and they could create, you know, these epic CGI battle scenes. I mean, if you notice, like, the fight scenes, the battle sequences, the wars are bigger and way more expansive, and there's just so much more going on. It's because the technology got better. And the same thing with the Yoda. They finally came up with the technology to create this flipping, fighting, lightsaber-wielding Yoda mm-hmm. that we all wanted to see. And they could do it right, and they did. So they waited on it. They did that a lot with, you saw that, like I was talking about with Jabba earlier, the Jabba scene. They held off. Like, George Lucas was smart like that, dude. He held off until technology was going to be good enough for him to be able to show what he wanted to be able to tell a story. I think it's freaking brilliant.
I don't disagree with you, except for the fact that what we learned about the remasters, that it wasn't just 97. They did it again in 2004.
Right.
They did it again in 2011.
Right.
One of the things was they added the Force ghost of there was always at the end of Return of Jedi, you saw Anakin standing there with Yoda and Obi-Wan mm-hmm. as ghosts, but it was just some old man actor.
It was the same actor who played Darth Vader after Luke took his helmet off and he was dying.
Yeah.
I forget his name. We heard it the other day. But,
But when they remastered it, they changed his image with the image of the actor that played Anakin in the prequels.
Hayden Christensen, right.
Yeah. So there was this continuity. So when you watch it, it's like, that's when he stopped being Vader, started being Anakin, and you see that actor.
Does that make any sense to you?
Being Anakin. Yeah.
I'm so lost.
Does it make any sense? I feel like, I don't know.
Good. I'm just so lost. It's all right. I'm enjoying it. I was just thinking about, you said the second one came out in 2002.
Something like that.
So that's that's totally why none of this makes sense. That's my senior year, 2002, 2003.
You definitely weren't watching Star Wars.
No, I definitely wasn't watching Star Wars. Right.
You were chasing girls. 18 years old, riding in cars, chasing girls. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah. And see, I had at that point dropped out of my original college and was just working and living life.
So, and as I'm breaking this down, like sitting back watching you two talk about this, it makes sense that I'm exactly between you two.
Right.
So you were alive. You know, you had the original
mm-hmm. movies experience.
And then at the time that the second set of movies came out, you were older.
Right.
And then Mike got to experience the second set of movies as a child like you did for the first ones.
Right.
But see, I was born right when the first ones happened, so I have no memory of those.
Right.
Even though I was alive, like mm-hmm. I wasn't watching those. And then by the time the second set came out,
you were too old.
I had different interests.
Right.
And I wasn't old enough to get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if I had been in my 20s, I maybe would have wanted to see it or got it more.
And to be honest, for me, like I said, I was just a passive watcher of the movies until recently when it was like there was enough of them out there and I would start to notice these problems and I'd want an answer like, why does this person exist? And some of it is very well done and explained in the movies. You know, you'll see little references like it, for those of you that have watched like Solo. To me, the introduction of Han Solo's dice in the movie Solo was done knowing that in The Last Jedi, they're going to have Luke hand these dice to Leia, which I know you haven't seen those or remember those, but things like that, right? So there's this little insignificant scene in Episode 8, The Last Jedi, where he gives her the dice and she knows those were Han's dice.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd never seen those dice before. But if you watched the movie Solo, which came out right before it,
right.
That's where those dice are introduced.
Okay.
So now you know, oh, that's what those were for.
Yeah.
But what bothers me about Qui-Gon is what we learned in those remasters in 2004, you know, because they added the different Anakin in 2004 or maybe it was in the 2011, was after the prequels came out and now we have a new Anakin, they went and remastered The Return of the Jedi again to add him into it. And we found out they changed lines.
Yeah, I never knew that. We just found this out last week. Monday. Yeah, but it's like they actually, for some reason, changed dialogue. There's a scene in Return of the Jedi where, I'm going to use these terms from the Star Wars world, so hopefully people can keep up with me, but Han Solo and Lando Calrissian are hanging over the side of this this speeder, and they're about to fall into the Sarlacc pit, which is this monster that basically lives in this hole that he never comes out of.
Right. The beginning of Return of the Jedi.
At the beginning of the movie. And then Han Solo's got to free Lando from the grasp of this monster, and he's aiming his blaster. And he says the original line that he said when he's getting ready to shoot the blaster was...
I don't know. I know what the new line was.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out. Okay, so it was trust me.
Yeah.
And then they changed it to I can see a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that.
So Han Solo was blind from the carbonite stuff and mm-hmm. he was getting his vision back. And yeah, and I had seen both versions. And once they pointed it out, I remember the old one where he's pointing and he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, trust me. And he shoots it.
Yeah.
But in the new one, the one that's out now, he says, what are you doing? And he says, I can see a whole lot better now. And he shoots.
No, I want to think about that for a second and figure out why might they have done that? Was it something that like happened socially? Was there an event, a shooting of some kind that we don't know about? Why did they change that with those words?
My theory is I think they're always paying attention to the Star Wars fans and the things that bother Star Wars fans. And maybe there could have been discussion somewhere in social media or whatever where people were confused as to how did Han shoot him when he's blind. You know, does Han have the Force? Han, you know, there can be so many questions in there. Mm. So I think they added it just to make clear, like, oh, I'm seeing better now.
So I can make the shot. I'm not blind at this time.
Yeah. Let you know, like, audience, Han is no longer blind. That's why he can shoot the
Sarlacc. Well, that's like going back to the first episode. Well, not the first episode, but episode 3, where he shoots first, you know, right, and they changed that to make him not appear to be a bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, it's like, what the heck? I love it. I love how, like, over years, there's this like influence from the fans.
So
and
as not a total star, I've watched Star Wars. I have watched it. I don't want to pretend like I haven't. But like as an outsider coming to this, how do you guys feel about these changes? Do you feel like they've added to the movies? Do you feel like they've detracted from the movies?
Some mixed bag for me. I think some of them are good. And that's what I was getting at with Qui-Gon. Uh-huh. Knowing that in 2004 and 2011, they were not only adding scenes, changing the way scenes looked, but also changing dialogue. There's no reason they couldn't have. All they have to do I say this all the time when Mike and I were talking. I'm like, all I have to do is make one little reference, one word, one conversation between Obi-Wan and Luke or somebody where he's like, oh, Qui-Gon wouldn't have done that. Or just one little blip. All they have to do is just let him say his name one time or make some reference to him sometime once in the original trilogy and Qui-Gon makes sense. So that bugged me that they didn't do it.
Right, since they were changing dialogue.
They were changing it anyway.
Yeah, like I didn't know. I had no idea they would even do that. Like, to me, that's almost a step too far, but where do you draw the line? It's a mixed bag for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
So as an outsider, I mean, I just feel like changing the dialogue is a step too far.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, definitely.
Like, I can understand biffing some things up, adding a little CGI, but like actually changing the dialogue, you've changed the movie.
Yes. And like I said, it's a mixed bag for me. Some of the stuff, the Jabba scene, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was part of Lucas's original vision.
Right.
But I don't see why in the other Jabba scenes when they're in his palace, why we have to add CGI to have some crazy hairy monster going into the fucking camera. Like, they added all this weird, like, that wasn't necessary to add all that stuff.
It's crazy, yeah.
We watched it. That one guy, there's like this hair, if you watch the beginning of Return of the Jedi now, and you can't get anything with a remastered version now unless you got an old VHS. But there's, when they're all dancing and singing, there's like this, so there's all these like puppets, right? And then there's this one CGI little hairy animal that like goes up in the camera, like right to the camera singing. He's like, yeah, there's no reason for it. It just looks so out of place. It looks so out of place.
So what's the new movie called that's coming out tomorrow?
The Rise of Skywalker. The Rise of Skywalker.
Right. Yeah.
So ruin it. Ruin it for me right now.
We can't. We don't know.
No. What's happening?
Well, I'm saying we can't because we don't know.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. How are we getting to this?
Okay, yeah, because Zach didn't see Last Jedi. So basically,
spoiler alert,
there's a bunch of questions, but the biggest question is who's
the Skywalker?
Who's the Skywalker that's going
to
rise?
They think there's a Skywalker.
There has to be. If the title's The Rise of Skywalker, a Skywalker has to rise in the movie, right? That has to happen. Yeah,
and I've been thinking more and more about this.
Right.
Because, so we have a couple things. One, in 7 and 8, we see Mark Hamill's back as Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
The end of 8, which you didn't see, Luke dies. Maybe.
Right. Maybe. Right. For all intents and purposes.
Let's say that he died.
It appears as though he's died.
Okay,
but we have Rey, the girl, is the new, like...
She's the new centerpiece. She's the new character hero, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But so we were talking... Because one thing I was going to say here was, who is the Skywalker they're talking about? So you have Kylo Ren, who is Han Solo and Leia's son.
Who is from here, by the way.
The actor.
Yeah, the actor.
From
here.
Adam Driver's from Michigan?
No, he's from South Bend.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I never knew that. Wow.
I knew that.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because I didn't know that was Adam Driver. I didn't know what he looked like.
You seriously knew the actor Adam Driver was from South Bend?
I've heard that. Yeah, but I didn't know who he was.
He was a Marine too, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. He's a cool dude.
Yeah. He's a little baby back bitch though in the first two movies. I watched those two in the last couple days. He's a little titty fits he has all the time. Every time something doesn't go his way with his lightsaber, just destroying the ship, having a fit.
Throws hissy fits.
Yeah. But so this is what I was thinking. It's like, we're overthinking this whole thing.
Right.
We know who the Skywalker is. It's fucking Kylo.
Wait, what?
Kylo.
Hey, technically, right?
Kylo is Leia's son.
Yeah.
He is a Skywalker.
Right.
So why can't the Rise of Skywalker?
No, he's a Solo.
But he still has Skywalker blood in him. Yeah, right. He's part of that lineage.
I think the words contextually speaking, his last name as a character is Solo, that they won't title a movie The Rise of Skywalker, if they're talking about him.
It could be, but also it's just like, it's hard to tell from the trailers because in some scenes he's fighting Rey, then other scenes are together.
Right.
But for sure, he is a Skywalker.
Right.
So we know that. He has Skywalker blood in him. But then I was like, no, it can't be, because rewatching episode 7 and 8, Rey is so powerful in the force. There's no way. She isn't the driving force in all this.
And at this point, we know she's not Luke's.
We don't know anything.
We don't know.
So she could be Luke's.
We don't know who her parents are. Kylo told her that her parents were scrappers.
Drunk scrappers.
Yeah,
right?
And they abandoned her.
Abandoned her on the planet that she...
On Jakku.
Jakku that she grew up on. And then And they show flashbacks in that movie of her on Jakku and her a ship leaving and she her crying and asking,
Come back,
all that. So,
yeah. But isn't there like a theory that they hid her there because they knew she was the last of the lineage?
It could be.
Some things.
That's a theory, but there's not much base. It's hard to come up with any basis for who she is. Now, first you think, so Kylo tells her that because he's lying to her and messing with her. But what we've discovered when you really think about it and watch the dark side, the Emperor, Vader, maybe Kylo, are never the ones that are lying. Like when Darth is like, I'm your father. And you would want to be like, no, he's just fucking with him. But he was. You know, every little thing when even when Kylo tells Rey about what really happened when he destroyed the Jedi Temple, when she asked Luke about it, really Kylo's version's closer to the truth about what actually happened. But what we find out, especially in the prequels, is the Jedis are some lying motherfuckers.
They're a bunch of liars, Bob.
Yeah. They always be lying.
They're shady.
They always be lying.
They're different, man.
But that makes... So this is my theory. Anakin Skywalker's mother, Shmi. We never meet Anakin's father.
Okay.
In the prequels, Obi-Wan or Qui-Gon asks her about the father, and she says, "There is no father. I can't explain it. I carried him. I gave birth to him.
Immaculate conception."
Well, and so then they talk about how they think that he was born from midichlorians, right? That he's just like the
So midichlorians are the physical manifestation of the Force. They're little germs that are the Force.
Right. To be honest with you, if anyone's still listening right now, they're the people that know that.
So is this story of the Bible?
Dude, there's a lot of like similarities between the Bible and Star Wars.
The Immaculate Conception and all that. But my thing is, I watched that scene a couple times this week when he asked her, and she like looks away and looks embarrassed, and she's like, oh, there is no father. Now, is she embarrassed because she's telling a story that sounds impossible? Or does she not want to say who the father actually is?
What if she just got drunk and doesn't remember who the father was?
Could be that.
I mean, there's a lot of those people around.
Mm-hmm. So we really don't know.
I don't have much to input. So that's what you got.
Yeah. That's good.
But the thing I'm getting at is we really actually do not know if Anakin has a physical human being father, mm-hmm. and if so, who it is. If he does have a father, that opens the door for Rey to be of that lineage.
Okay.
And so they said in the prequels that Anakin was basically the most powerful, not Jedi at the time, but he had the, what they said, the highest midichlorian count of anyone, including Yoda.
Yeah.
Of any human or any being ever. Strongest in the Force ever, Anakin, who became Vader. So his father presumably could be even more so that. And if his father had another line of children that we didn't see through this whole, you know, there was a different storyline happening,
mm-hmm.
and Rey is the product of that, that could explain, because she is when we've never seen this before with anyone, even so Anakin, who was like the most powerful in the Force of anyone in the world, he didn't have anywhere near. Think about what we see from Rey with zero training. She uses the Jedi mind trick on the stormtrooper.
Yeah.
So she's held captive. That scene was in 7. So if you saw 7, you'd have seen it. I do love J.J. Abrams in 7. The little bits of humor he puts in there.
Yeah, he's going to be the savior of this trilogy for sure.
Yeah. And he's doing 9 also.
So how do they go 8 movies explaining the lineage? Now in episode 9, they're going to explain 4 generations in one movie?
Well, you don't know. So there's a lot of mysteries because
holes in your theory.
We also have Snoke. I don't think it shoots holes in it. I mean, I think they've intentionally built this mystery.
Okay.
To be just like Luke's father.
Yeah.
You know, we don't find out until Return of the Jedi. You know, we've heard through. Well, I guess we find it in End of Empire Strikes Back.
But nobody believed it. So like at the time,
we thought he was lying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At the time, it was speculation. Nobody quite knew what was going on. Just like kind of what's going on now. Nobody quite knows what's going on.
Because Obi-Wan, who we all assume would never lie, said Vader killed your father.
Which is kind of the truth.
Sort of, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Them Jedis, they'd be lying.
They'd be lying.
The dark side are telling the truth usually. But you have also Snoke,
mm-hmm.
is a huge mystery. Who Snoke is, he's the new big supreme leader. They don't say if he's Sith or whatever. He's the dark side guy and the villain in the new ones. So we don't know.
Maybe he's the baby daddy.
Well, we don't know where he came from. We don't know anything about him. And then there's this First Order, you know, because at the end of Return of the Jedi, the Republic defeats, they defeat the Empire when they kill, you know, they kill the Emperor and Vader dies and every peace is restored. And then we jump 30 years later and it's like they're right back, but now they're the First Order. Like, we don't know how that happened.
Yeah. It's like the entire original trilogy was about the destruction of the Empire and the Rebel Alliance becoming the good Republic again. And then all of a sudden now with this new trilogy, it's the same battle over again. It's like the Empire's back, but they're called the First Order, and
right,
the Rebels are back and they're still called the Rebels. But what happened to the new Republic that should have happened between Return of the Jedi and Force right. Awakens? It's weird.
But people are saying that Abrams is going to bring all that together.
All right, Mike, who's the last Skywalker? Tell me.
I think it's, I think Rey is Han Solo and Princess Leia's daughter. So I think it's Rey.
I say no way. There's no way that's going to happen.
I know that it's really, that's like a really obvious, like lame almost theory, but I think that's it.
This is why I think no.
I think it's Chewbacca.
There you go, Zach, with the one-liners. I know.
What's happening is Zach is looking at the clock. He knows he has to leave soon, so he's trying to bring us to a close. But he doesn't realize we're just going to keep going after Zach leaves.
That's fine. You guys can keep going.
Yeah.
I want to hear your theories, then I'll leave.
Yeah. But the thing is, so Han is like the greatest dad ever, right? In the scene where Kylo kills him, he, you know, like you can see, like he loves his kid. I'll do anything, whatever you need. I'm here for you. And he's going to go get him. And when he should have been blowing up the battle station and getting out of there, he's just one more chance because he loves his son so much. I don't believe a father like that. And Leia, like, he'll no, he can still turn. If you see him, bring him home. They love their kid so much. I don't believe they can build two characters that are those kind of parents that would just abandon another kid and not give a shit.
But they do have that embrace at the end of 7.
Yeah.
Leia and Rey.
Right. But then you also have when Han is trying to figure out who she is. He doesn't act like he knows who she is throughout 7. You know, when he sees her, she can fly the. There's arguments for it. The fact that she can miraculously fly the Millennium Falcon.
Right. I mean, that can't be overlooked.
But she's also says she's a pilot. Before that, she's a pilot. She's handy. She can fix stuff. You know, so that could be explained.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't think so. I don't think that's the case. But Rey is somebody. Rey's got something.
And for you to say that maybe he doesn't recognize her when they meet up again. I mean, she wasn't a 20-year-old woman when he left her. She was a baby.
Right.
So he wouldn't recognize her. Her name might be different even. And the reason for them to leave her could be, my theory is that, so Leia and Han, they separated, which is, it's said in episode 7 that they separated. And then he and Chewie went off to go back to smuggling, which I hate about the character, by the way. But anyway, that happened. So they went off to be smugglers. What if he's got a daughter and he doesn't want to be a part of that life? You know, he knows he's a low life, tries to give her a different life.
But it would have to be his daughter with Leia for it to make sense. And Leia is still the general of the army, you know. And
yeah, you got a point. I'm still mulling it over my head. I'm still hanging on to it, but you're right. There's leaks there.
I also think if anybody hasn't watched, have you watched The Mandalorian yet? Probably not.
Nope.
So on Disney Plus, they have a Disney Plus original called The Mandalorian, which I think the timing of that is too great for it not to be designed to give us some insight into what we're going to see in the new Star Wars that's about to drop. So a couple things with that. Number one, they dropped the series right before The Rise of Skywalker is dropping.
Yeah, but it couldn't be just to drive publicity, right?
It could be, but there's also some weird things. So it the new episodes drop every Friday, except this week, today the 18th. This week, instead of Friday, it's dropping Wednesday. So today, for those of you that are watching The Mandalorian that haven't realized this, today they're dropping an episode of The Mandalorian. I think, now, when we recorded this, we'd be two episodes behind on The Mandalorian. There was a little scene where the Mandalorian's walking out and he sees the stormtroopers' heads on spikes.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera, and it made a point to pause and he stops and he looks at them real inquisitively. The camera stops and looks at him, he walks on. I think that in The Mandalorian, in the episode that we'll have for you guys listening, will have dropped last Friday, and the one that's going to drop today, I think through The Mandalorian, they're going to fill some plot holes and explain what happened to the Republic. because it takes place between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens.
Okay.
Right. Between the original trilogy and the new trilogy. Right,
I wish they would just release shit in order.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah, they're never going to. Yeah.
But it's right where we have this black hole where we don't know what happened to the Republic and where the First Order come from. I think that we're going to get some explanation through The Mandalorian. I also think that we may get some answers about Snoke through The Mandalorian, about his origin and where he came from.
I'd like to see that because we need some answers on that character, on Snoke.
Yeah, because as far as driving sales and stuff like you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
what makes more sense for...
Driving sales. That's what makes money.
Well, right.
Yeah.
But what makes more sense, using their new platform and a new show and a streaming thing that's completely new to drive sales to the final Star Wars episode that is like the biggest thing in the world ever that people are already going to go to? Or does it make more sense for them to put this information in The Mandalorian so that when everybody goes to see the big thing that they're already going to go see, now they all want to go download Disney Plus for $5.99 a month to watch The Mandalorian?
See, I think you thought about it backwards. I think it's the other way. I think that everybody knows Star Wars is coming out, and they're putting out Mandalorian to force the people like you to go, shit, there's a new Star Wars. We need to go download Disney Plus right now and watch it. So you're
could be, but they didn't market it that way. They marketed it as a completely standalone.
See, everything I ever heard about Disney Plus was Mandalorian from the beginning.
Really?
I didn't even know Disney Plus existed besides that.
Oh, yeah. For sure. That was a huge launching pad for them because they have a Star Wars original series.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the timing of it, putting it out right now, we'll see. My prediction is, what do you think? Do you think it's going to happen? They're going to give us some info.
Yeah, you convinced me. It took me a little bit to kind of come to terms with it, but I think so. I'm going to agree with you on this one, Bob, because I think that they are going to try and drive traffic to the show on Disney Plus.
I think so too. I think there's going to be some Easter eggs in there, and they've used these standalone movies before to give us, like I talked about Solo with the, we learned why the front of the Millennium Falcon's missing.
Okay,
through Solo, which didn't do well at the box office. I thought it was fabulous.
I loved it. Yeah.
I loved Solo.
Can't win them all.
I will say this. The greatest movie continuity from one to another made 40 years apart was Rogue One to A New Hope, the original, very first Star Wars. They're made 40 years apart. Rogue One takes place right before A New Hope.
Hmm.
The final scene, I think I started blowing up Mike's text it was on Disney Plus. I was watching Rogue One while I was on the elliptical machine, and it ends with Leia. They do some CGI Leia that looks like the old Leia. The ship looks the same, everything, and the ship takes off, and then it autoplayed the next episode, which would have been A New Hope, mm-hmm. Star Wars, and it picked up, and you would have swear it was a commercial break.
Hmm.
Like the ship is going out like this.
Yeah.
A New Hope starts, that same ship picks up coming up here. The inside looks the same. The costumes look the same. The characters look the same.
Yeah, it's flawless.
The music is the same. I mean, it's absolutely flawless. Brilliantly done.
All right, you guys need to do me a solid right now.
Okay.
What's the order of the movies? I know everybody listening that's still listening knows, but I don't. So what's the order of the movies?
With the extra ones in?
Yeah.
So it's the prequels 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Then Solo.
Correct.
Then Rogue One.
Correct.
Then the original trilogy.
Yep.
Then the Mandalorian series.
Right.
Then The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and the one that's about to be released.
Yeah.
Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Do I watch them in that order?
I don't know.
I would.
I like that you guys had to think about that. You both locked eyes and were like, rrr.
I'd watch them if you were introducing...
Let's say someone's never seen a bunch of them.
Right, just for example.
For example,
if you could find a person like that,
definitely start. I would just make it easy and start at one and just watch them all the way through.
But let's say I was going to introduce it to my kids.
Then I would start at one and watch them all the way through.
All right.
Yeah. Well, because honestly, those continuity issues won't be as big of a deal.
Right.
So if you watch from episode one all the way through it, and you get to Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, and they don't mention Qui-Gon.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not mentioning someone that for you is part of the canon, as part of the story already.
Okay.
It won't, but like for me, that wouldn't bother me. What bothered me about it is I was in love with the first three movies for 30 years, and then they made a movie that's supposed to be taking place before, explaining things, and they're giving me new stuff that doesn't fit with that.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I think for sure, now that I think about it, I would for sure watch them all in order.
Yeah, especially, yeah. Get your kids on it.
All right, gentlemen.
Unless you want them to be wrestlers.
I am going to catch the Starship Enterprise.
Wait, before you do that. Oh! Yeah, I just Star Trek, you son of a sack
get
of shit.
Here.
Yeah. I think we can wrap this up so we can close it out like normal. Okay. So this is what I think. Real quick, theories, who the last Skywalker is. I think it's going to be Rey, and I think it's going to be through a lineage from Anakin's father.
Right. And I think it's going to be Rey, and I think it's going to be a lineage from Han Solo and Leia.
No idea about Snoke, what his story is, whether he's dead or not. That's confusing. The First Order stuff, I think, is going to be explained through The Mandalorian. We'll see. We can close this out, and I don't want to eat up a bunch of Bob and Weave episodes for Star Wars stuff. So maybe Mike and I will just make a video sometime and put a YouTube video out, not a podcast, after, because I want to talk about it again after the movie.
Oh, yeah, I want to, too.
Yeah. So maybe we'll, on the Bob and Weave YouTube channel, we won't do a podcast episode, but Mike and I will, and Zach will be here.
Or a bonus.
Yeah, some bonus, something. We'll do something where we're going to talk a little more about Star Wars. For now, we've been going for a number of minutes. I actually can't read the clock. It looks like an hour and 10, something
I see,
like that.
I see a one. Yeah, I see a one in the one. Front.
Zach's got to go. He's got a hard out. This has been a blast. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
Fantastic. Zach, as always, thanks for being my friend.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
Wait, what did you say?
Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@BobWeavePod.com. And if you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.